This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague,
brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2 and YouTube.com. Ducks game day. Pre-game will start with Dirt and Anthony Newman at 2 o'clock.
And Dusty Hara. Dusty will be
and
down
Dusty
there, too.
Yeah. Well, Dusty's doing the sideline thing,
he
so
is.
I don't,
he still
and I don't
does
really
the,
catch the pregame, so yeah. I don't know how it works with you guys
He does
anymore.
The home game pregame show.
Okay.
And Anthony will be here because he's got a high school game tonight. So Dusty and I will be in Eugene, and
you're
Anthony...
You're going to Eugene.
I'm going to Eugene.
Why are you going to Eugene? Why wouldn't you not just do here?
You know, I don't know. I don't make the rules around here, Bob. I don't make the rules.
So Anthony's going to be here doing
Anthony
it
is
while you
be
guys
here.
Are down there?
And he's good. We're going to be down there. Live on location.
Okay.
You are looking live.
There you go. Isaac and Suk will be doing a specialty version of their show, a half version of the show. They'll go 12 to 2 today.
12 to 2.
And then we've got Colin from 9 to noon. So we'll get to all of those dealings. We'll Sprague the line at 8:30 today. So get the Sprague the line sponsors in at the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. I've got an interesting little statoid on Ooh. Oregon State. They play Colorado State this weekend.
They do.
I want to get to that coming up. But we were talking about this Oregon-Michigan State game, Jonathan Smith back in town. We have a poll question that Dirt put up yesterday. Beaver fans, if you have to pick one, who are you rooting for tonight, Oregon or Michigan State? It's created quite the response.
It has. I also, I should have put an option on there of I just want to see the results. I need to start doing that on these poll
what
questions.
What do you mean you just want
so
to see
you
the
can't,
results?
So people can't see the results unless they vote. So there were a lot of Duck fans that responded that were like, I skewed the numbers because I wanted to see what answer was winning.
Most Duck fans voted on this.
I would imagine so.
And I think Beaver fan that did vote, voted not Oregon.
Yes.
As much as they may hate Jonathan Smith, I think it's almost always no Oregon.
I would imagine so.
However, we do have our Beaver fans out there that just appreciate state rivalry, but also don't like Jonathan Smith whatsoever anymore. We also had a lot of Meteor and Death Star options.
Now, you got to play the game. You got to pick one.
I told you, not everybody wanted to play that game.
You got
to
play that game. You got to play the game. No cop-outs, no fence-sitting. You got to pick one. Who do you want to see win tonight?
Dan Lanning goes to Ohio State because Ryan Day gets fired, and he's playing Washington. Yeah. Who are you rooting for there?
Where's my team at? Is my team good? Are we relevant? Are we competing with the team that he went to? Are we down a little bit?
In the Big Ten.
Probably rooting for Washington in that moment.
Really?
For one game, Washington wins,
they pass you in the Big Ten standings.
If we're fifth, it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Being fifth in the Big Ten's not... Whatever.
You could be one of four teams to make the playoff.
We could. I'm okay with that. Okay. I would root against... I'm that petty, and I would root against my old coach.
Okay, good to know. I wanted to know where your petty was. Also, best bet of the weekend, Ducks minus 23.5 against Michigan State, Beavers minus 11 against Colorado State, or Huskies 1.5 favorites against Michigan. You can vote for those at Dirt and Sprague. Okay, so let's sort this out. They're playing Michigan State tonight. Michigan State's defense, we talked about this. I know they lost 38-7 last week to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Michigan State's defense and their opponents have not been great. Looking a little tough. Is there any advantage, you think, from this coaching staff from Oregon State, the ones who went to Michigan State, of knowing what Will Stein and Dan Lanning are going to do offensively? Is there any advantage there to maybe help Michigan State a little defensively tonight?
There could be. There's a lot of familiar faces on that staff, but I think the interesting thing is a lot of this stuff will carry over to the other way. Not that coaches and players are the same, but Derek Harmon has a lot of knowledge about who's on that team and good players and playmakers and guys that are difference makers on their defense. I know they had a lot of transfers, so you have a two-way street in that regard. But also, this is an Oregon team that dominated Oregon State last year, and so I don't know how scared I am of that knowledge impacting this season, because I do think Oregon's offense is slightly different than it's been in the last couple of years.
Okay. I would add to it, I actually put zero stock in players that were in former places going and helping their new staff. I don't think players operate that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think Derek Harmon got there and was like, let me give you the lowdown. I think Derek Harmon's like, hey, what time is meal?
Yeah,
what time do I need to be dressed?
I don't think that. I think instinctually, if he sees something in the moment on the field that he recognizes.
You think players operate this way in college? I don't think that happens.
No. I don't think it's anything conscious. I just think if he's out there on the field and they're looking and, you know, he recognizes what they're doing because he was in practice and he did it.
He's never played against these guys.
The unique thing is that he's not. It's a different staff, right?
Out.
So that's the hard part.
That.
I think it's more so like, I'm not saying he's coming in saying, let me give you their playbook. I don't think it's like that. I think it's more of like, we're in meetings and you're talking about a certain offensive lineman and, hey, he likes to do this against this look. Or if you give him this look, this guy likes to shade you on this side, so try and work him this way because I went against him in practice every
day. The weird thing about that is I don't think that happens in college at all. I think in the NFL, because it's more businesslike, it's their profession, I don't think college kids operate that. I could be way wrong on that. I just never view college players.
I don't think it's anything conscious. I just think as they're wherever it comes up, something will trigger. It's like, oh, I know what's going to happen here, or I know what the tendencies are.
And that's the tough thing is he doesn't know because he didn't go against what this is. Okay, so if you don't think that has much of an impact, I want to ask you. Ohio State comes to town next week.
Next week,
that's the bigger game. We all know it. They got a game tonight. I know people don't want to overlook a game. But what do you need to see out of Oregon tonight? For what you've seen of Oregon, we're in week six. This is week six, okay?
Game five, because they had a bye.
This is a massive moment for their season. The season is underway. We have a good sample size. And barring injury, what you make of Oregon so far, what do you need to see from Oregon tonight against a quote-unquote lesser opponent, as you have Michigan State looming next week?
I think the two primary things that I'm circling tonight, it should not be a game that's uncomfortable. I'm not giving a lot of credit to the staff of knowledge and all. Oregon out-athletes them all over the field. They're the better team, and it's not even close. Funky things happen. That's the beauty of college football. Upsets happen. But if all goes according to plan, this should not be a close game tonight. The two things that I have circled that I want to see from Oregon is, one, I thought you saw their best effort last week up front defensively. Their defensive line dominated that game. They lived in the backfield. Garbers is in a walking boot. They couldn't run the football, which they largely couldn't for the entirety of the season, but they had got after him a ton. They hit him a ton. They forced turnovers. They dominated the game up front. There was a drive in which Jordan Birch basically took over single-handedly and had a sack and a tackle for loss, and all of a sudden you're in third and 16. It's like, thanks, that was one guy. That was just a wrecking ball. You need them to play that way against Ohio State in order to win. And so this is an offensive line that's not elite. This is a team that's not great at running the football. And so you should be able to get Michigan State into some third and long situations in which your pass rush can tee off. And I want to see them dominate up front. Take away the run and beat Aiden Childs to hell up. On the other side of the ball, I think the biggest question mark that still lingers, even though they've been better the last 2 weeks, is primarily the offensive line. And where it manifests itself, in my mind, is that they have not been able to, outside of a play here or there against Oregon State in the second half of that game, explosive runs are not a part of their offense still. Even last week, where I know UCLA's run defense isn't terrible, and that's really the only good thing that they do, Jordan James' longest run of the game was 16 yards. Dylan Gabriel had one scramble of 13 yards. Noah Winnington's longest run was only 7. He had 8 carries for 21 yards. And so that's just something that's been missing. The run game has gotten a lot better the last 2 weeks, but they have not been able to have one of those flip the field, I broke a tackle in the secondary, and there's Jordan James with a 35-yard carry. Let's go hurry up and get on the ball, make them a little rattled, and then go fire off another play. They don't have a lot of – I think they only have one or two runs all season that are longer than 20 yards, and you need chunk runs.
So you want an explosive. Explosive plays I want explosive 20 or plays, more yards yeah. down the field.
They've shown they can do it in the pass game, and that has been awesome the last couple of games. It has not existed in the run game.
Okay, so I'm kind of nitpicking on your thing here just a little bit. You mentioned his longest run, James's, was 16?
16 yards last week.
And then another, was it Whittington you said at 13? Or
no, Gabriel had a scramble of 13. Whittington did not have a run longer than 10 yards.
But what you saw from UCLA, what you saw against Oregon State, was consistently setting you up for second and shorts.
They were falling
or
forward.
Third
yeah.
and very shorts, yeah. right? So while I think it's a very fair thing for you to look at the offensive line and say, okay, I want to continue to see this growth, because we still haven't an update on Bedford. It sounds like he's going to be out. I don't know. Maybe he'll be back for Ohio State.
I mean, at some point, they're going to start talking about, do we want to hold him until the last four games and have him redshirt, to be honest with you. I mean, there's only...
If that's a possibility...
This is already game five. Yes. There's only, what, seven games in the regular season after this.
Yes. But is that important? I mean, I know you want to see long runs. It's something that's exciting. Explosive plays are massively important for teams and kind of what their identities are. But when you're running the ball the way they are, I don't know how important is that. If they're running against Ohio State and they're averaging 6.8 yards a clip, you know, my middle school coach, we'd run almost every play, and I was a running back, but I'd, coach, we don't pass. He goes, Sprague, you average 4 yards a run. I go, yeah. And he goes, what's 4 times 3? And I go, 12. He goes, that's a first down.
First down.
Just shut up and get the ball.
Move the chains.
And so, like, I guess my point is, I don't know how important that is versus what they have shown you the last couple weeks of consistently running and getting 5, 6, 7 yards a carry.
I think the difference is what you're going to face next weekend and what you faced 2 weeks ago, last week, and this week. And it's drastically different. Ohio State has one of the best fronts in the country.
They do.
And so
a lot of experience.
I love that you can run the ball against Oregon State. I think that defense is fine, but not what it's been the last couple of years. UCLA's run defense is decent, but not elite. And Michigan State's run defense is not great coming into this game. They're okay, but they're not great. And so I think that's the fear of that. If you're still not breaking and being dominant in that category, maybe your passing attack and Dylan Gabriel is enough to overcome it when you play a better opponent. But a lot of this stuff, when you're watching a team that's ranked near the top, it's not about what you need to do to beat Michigan State. You cannot have explosive runs and win this game by 30 tonight
right.
because they've been doing that the last couple of weeks. But it's about when you play a team like Ohio State, can you do it if they're able to take that away from you? Because if you're only averaging, you know, 5, 6 yards a carry, which sounds great, but none of them are through explosive runs against run defenses that aren't as good as Ohio State, what will that look like a week from now? Are they able to take that away from you? And then does that give them the advantage defensively where Dylan Gabriel is under siege the entire game because he's living in 2nd and 8 and 3rd and 7 all game?
I have I had an Ohio State question I wanted to get. And I know I'm kind of peekabooing too early on this, and I know some football
fans...
We're
not on the team. It's not a look-ahead factor.
I know, but you know how some fans are like, you guys aren't even acknowledging the game tonight! And like, I want to acknowledge they're playing Michigan State tonight.
I mean, it's also a tune-up game, but it's also the team that Ohio State just played, and so you're going to have a comparable box score to go side-by-side. Not that that always means anything, but how they played them, and then how you played them, and to how you shake up.
I had a thing about that. I'll carry that over, and then we'll get to Oregon State. They got Colorado State. I got a stat about Oregon State that I was curious about, and I looked into it yesterday, and so I'll tell you what that is as well. We have a lot more to get into Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We will Sprague the Line at 8:30. It's one of our favorite Friday traditions. So get those great Sprague the Line sponsors into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com.
That was a great first text to wake up to this morning when I turned my computer on, got into the station. Guy who's working nights, couldn't listen to the show this week, but he didn't want to miss the opportunity for a Sprague the Line sponsor. And so there was one in from midnight last night. It was the first text I saw. That's dedication right there.
Love that. We love our listeners whenever they can listen live on the podcast. Thank you guys for hanging with us on this Friday. Ducks game day against Michigan State. Jonathan Smith back in town. You know, I'm an Oregon State alum. It doesn't really do much for me, to be honest with you. Yeah. It's, you know, I'm going to obviously watch this game, but I just don't think if Michigan State was 2 or 3 years into his tenure, this game would have way more juice and be more interesting because everything would be a little more in place for what he wants to do. They're not there yet.
No.
We'll see if they become a bowl team this year or if they're just going to roll on and not be very good. But they played Ohio State last week and hung with him for a quarter and a half, two quarters, and then Jeremiah Smith became Jeremiah Smith.
One-handed catches all over the field.
And you have Ohio State next week, and Oregon does, and it's a common opponent, Michigan State. Mm-hmm. They played them last week. Here they are. They're down in Eugene tonight. Ohio State, they've been a weird team. I haven't quite known how to gauge them. I picked them to beat you preseason next week and to win the Big Ten. That's no shocking hot take. But I also am acknowledging, I've seen their games. They play with the food is the term I like to use. And I thought they did it again last week until Smith was one hand grabbing things. Ohio State, what you have made from Ohio State and what you saw against Michigan State last week.
It's so hard to get a read on them, man. And this is the case with a lot of teams early on in the season. When you haven't played anybody, it's just hard to know exactly who you are.
See Ole Miss last weekend.
Exactly. And it's not like Kentucky's very good, but they're okay defensively. And then they ran into a buzzsaw and they had a clunky game offensively. And you're like, man, I can't believe that they lost it. But their previous weeks, they were blowing everybody out. But largely it was because it was inferior competition. I think we'll find out a lot more. I was not elite by any stretch of the imagination. Cade McNamara is not a good quarterback. They can't move the ball. It's the same damn Iowa team every single year, and they're still allergic to offense. But at least we know that they can run the ball a little bit and that they can play defense, and they're going to be physical up front. And so this is the first time that I feel like they're at least playing a team with a pulse. Like, no offense to Michigan State, but they got essentially a freshman quarterback, half of a new roster, some of their wins early in the season. They damn near lost to FAU in the first week of the season. Kind of a weird, funky win over Maryland as well. And then they played like Prairie View A&M was their other win, and then they lost to Boston College, and then last week to Ohio State. Michigan State's not a great team. Their other games are Marshall, Western Michigan, and Akron. That's who Ohio State's played this year. And so, yeah, they're blowing them out, but you know that they're a good team coming into the year. You just, I think, are waiting for them to have a big opponent to see it validated. For a lot of people around the country, they're waiting to see what they do next week against Oregon. And I'm probably in the same camp, but at least this week we'll get a slightly better indicator of when they play a team with a pulse, at least on one side of the ball, how do they look? How does the offense look? Because if any part of their team has been clunky early in the season, it has been their offense and their passing game early. And so can Iowa bottle them up a little bit? Is that a weird, like, 13-6 game at the half? And then they finally separate. I think there will be an interesting tell for them this weekend at home against Iowa.
Yeah, I think that's the hard thing for me with Ohio State is I can say, oh, you know, they don't look quite how I thought they would. And you can point to the schedule and say, why do they need to?
I mean, let me remind you of this, too.
The extended, I'll let you go there, but the extension part of the season is an important, underrated part of this conversation. There's teams that potentially play 17 games this year.
Yes, there are.
So do you need to win the Akron game 65-0? No, just be as vanilla as possible, and eventually you're going to win. I don't even remember what the final of that game was, but eventually you're going to win by double digits.
It'll be 52-7, even though it's 21-0 at the half. And you're like, well, that's it, huh?
Exactly.
So Desmond Howard had this, a couple weeks ago where he ranted about Ohio State's schedule, and so they haven't played anybody. Why don't you go schedule people? And
which is hilarious from a Michigan guy because they played nobody last year.
And I loved pointing that out. Their first three games, Michigan won the national championship last year and went undefeated. Their first three games were against East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. That's who they played in non-conference. You want to know the final scores of those games? They beat East Carolina 30-3.
Yep.
They beat UNLV at home 35-7. And then they play Bowling Green at home, still have not left the state of Michigan, 31-6.
Yeah, exactly.
And in their first Big Ten game, they played Rutgers, and they won 31-7.
See, I think that's going to be kind of what Iowa is this week. I think it's going to be this is why it's a benefit for Oregon. You play tonight, you play a team that you're favored by, that you should beat, and you get an extra day of rest. They get to play Iowa. And Iowa physically, I think, is going to hit them hard. Cade McNamara has two picks and no touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he can't throw the football.
They have no offense to speak of. It's a run game and then punts. Punting is that is Ferentz's favorite thing to do, I think, in football is to punt.
It is.
So
especially at midfield.
That's going to be a physical game that's kind of close at half. And a final might end up being 31-13 or 31-10. And we're going to go into Monday and go into next week and say, Yeah, Ohio State.
They won again.
You know, and you know that they're going to bring it going to Eugene.
Well, and I think to this point, and you brought it up with Michigan, like in the long season, it doesn't really matter how you're playing in week five. Now, both these teams got to figure it out and play. They want to play their best football next week because it's a massive game, no doubt about it.
Right.
But I think these coaches are also, I brought this a couple of weeks ago, like the season is so unique now. It used to be a max of 15 games. Now it's a max of 17 games. And the season starts at the end of August and it goes halfway through January now. If you play in a national championship game, like, You want to be playing your best football, but it's not about peaking in week four. You want to play your best in the bigger games, but you need to make sure everything is dialed in by the end of the season. So use Michigan last year as the example. After those first four games where you're winning on by an average of 20-something points, that's not blowing against that competition. That's not great. Then they go to Nebraska and win by 40. Then they beat Minnesota by 50. Then they beat Indiana by 50. They beat Michigan State by 50. And that's when things started to click for them going into that second and third month of the season. And then they capped it off with wins over Penn State, Ohio State, and then shutting out Iowa in the Big Ten title game. They hit their stride later in the year, and that seems like kind of the way that Ohio State is functioning right now. But Oregon maybe throws a complete wrench in that next weekend. We'll have to wait to find out.
Yeah, but you know, the other part of this is with the expanded playoff, like Oregon can do the same thing that Michigan or that Ohio State did to Michigan State tonight. Like they can win this game 36-10. And I'm sure there's going to be some Duck fans that, oh, this didn't look good in the second quarter. Or, you know, like that's what I was doing last week against UCLA, was just noting, oh, you know, the offense, punt, run clock. That's kind of what the second half
was. Didn't do much,
right? If you would have gone back to the four-team playoff versus what you have now with 12 and these extra games.
Those things matter a little bit.
I bet you Lanning runs a couple of those drives in or
exactly.
Is very adamant of saying, no, this isn't going to... What was the final of that game? It was 28...
The UCLA game?
Yeah.
34-13.
Thank you. I bet you Lanning tries to press that and make it 45-13, right? Because now you're getting into style points.
Yes.
And you're getting to how people look at box scores and final scores because we know the committee members aren't watching all these games. Whereas now with the expanded playoff... It just, all that matters is your record. Nobody's looking at like, oh, how many did they beat UCLA by? That doesn't
right.
matter. And you can argue it never really mattered, but you could see teams act like it mattered. Whereas now I think you just, if Dan Lanning's up, I don't know, 29-6 tonight in the fourth quarter, I think Dan Lanning's just got, let's just get out of here.
Let's just
get this game done. We got our extra rest.
Yeah, we got our win.
We got
good.
Ohio State coming in town. I don't give a crap what the final score is.
No, and he acknowledged that with Isaac Ansuk this week, where some of that late in games is one, just not wanting to put anything else on film, because why, if you don't need to use it, you're not going to use it in a game.
What he said was if he has something in the chamber, he uses it, but they're not like... Also saying, let's empty the bag.
Yes, show you all of our cards.
Yeah.
We got the win. We worked on the stuff we wanted to work on. Let's holster whatever we need to holster for the next couple of games. And so that's the mentality early in the season. And I think the first half will be the most telling for this, because you had it against Idaho. You had it against Boise State. It was less than stellar first halves. And all of a sudden, now you're in a dogfight for the entire game. Whereas I think you're hoping tonight you come out, control it, home crowd, should be an awesome atmosphere. You kind of stranglehold that game in the first half. You do the old snake thing, man. Put them into the restrictor. You're slowly choking them out. And by the time you get to the second half, you can just run the football on them, make them be one-dimensional offensively. Your pass rush tees off, and you get out of there with a 20-30 point win, and you're feeling great going into Ohio State.
We had a listener give a spring and line pick and then said, side note, Michigan State landed in Eugene at 4:30 yesterday.
In the afternoon or in the morning?
P.M.
P.M. Oh, seems like a kind of a late arrival, but I guess not. Usually day before.
I don't know how to gauge any of that stuff, like when you leave, when you don't leave.
It's not that Friday long game. Of a trip.
Well, it's such a late game
like a
for them
flight,
on Friday.
Right?
I'm assuming they then get a walkthrough this morning.
Yeah, you do an easy... Well, I bet you do a walkthrough at the hotel last night, because they stay at that Valley Inn.
Yeah,
do some team meetings, walk.
But normally you do a walkthrough on... You get a walkthrough on your opposing team's field at
some
point.
No, you do, but yeah. I bet you last night they did something like that, though, at their hotel. Clear out that ballroom.
For sure. They practiced before they left.
Yeah.
It's a bigger deal. Like Mario was talking about this week, because they're going to Cal and playing at 7:30. That's a 10:30 body clock start time for Miami.
It's 8 p.m.
Or is it 8 p.m.? Okay, so it's 11 o'clock body... So they were going 2 days earlier than they normally go.
No, I think that's a 7:30 game.
Is that one 7:30?
Miami-Cal, I think it's 7:30.
We have an 8 o'clock game this week?
It's the last game of the day. It is 7:30, yeah.
Oh, okay.
7:30 tomorrow. There's probably an 8 o'clock game as well.
Let's pause on the Oregon conversation. They got Michigan State tonight. Something interesting looming for Oregon State. Just something that I noticed yesterday in reading about this game. Trent Bray offers some insight. They got Colorado State this weekend. We'll get to the Beavs coming up next.
All right, welcome back in. 7:36 on your Football Friday. We're having a great time. Thanks for being with us this morning. If you're driving down to Eugene.
Yes! Here we go!
Are we woke or are we coke this weekend?
You know me, I'm always woke against coke. Well, not always, but this weekend I am.
I don't know about that. I think Old Dirt would be answering that one differently.
I'm all in on the woke train this week, baby. Let's go. Universal health care. You guys want a dishwasher? We're giving those away. What else you need, huh? Come on, man. Universal income. Let's go woke this weekend.
There is a ballot measure.
We got that coming up on the ballot.
It's going to.
Should we talk about that right now?
It's going to fail miserably.
You think it's going to fail miserably?
I think it's going to be. I think it's going to get destroyed.
People like free money.
Not enough people.
Not enough people?
Not the way that's set up.
Okay. I'll beer bet you on that one. You want to beer bet on that one?
You think it's going to win?
I think it could win. Let's beer bet on that one.
Okay. We'll beer bet on that one. It was measure 118, right?
I think it's 118, yeah. You should be hearing 8,000 commercials for it right now on your television. So, you know, you can't avoid it anywhere you look.
I'll tell you, this Joe Kent guy in Washington.
Oh, he is just spamming my feed. Joe,
I need to get
give
his
it a rest.
Face off television, yeah, dude. Yeah. The way they make him look, he looks so angry.
We got some good Spring and Line sponsors coming in. Some of them tied to political ads. You can get your fake sponsors in. We will do some gambling coming up at 830-503-864-6326. Let's talk about your Beavers, shall we?
Sure.
They are taking on Colorado State this weekend.
Yeah, the Rams.
And here is Trent Bray this week at his press conference talking about the matchup and the juice.
I know for him and probably for, well, I know for me and probably for him that, like, it's just not something that's a big worry or concern for us right now. It's about what's happening right now, and all that stuff's going to happen a year or two down the road anyway.
So that was about if when they're eventually a conference opponent.
This is a conference foe.
This is a conference foe, and will be not only this year, but for years to come. You're going to play against Colorado State in the new look conference. But coming off of a bye week, I think there's the two different feelings you have off of a bye week. Are we going to get the lazy, sleepy, rusty bye week team, or are we going to get the fresh, rejuvenated, recharged, locked in, had a great work week, ready to attack the game out of the bye week?
Yeah, the Joe Biden or the Kamala Harris.
Which one are we going to get? Which one? Are we getting young and energetic, or are we getting old and sleepy? How's this going to look?
Well, I think there's always an element to coming off of the bye and maybe having a little bit of rest. Colorado State, Oregon State is seventh in rushing offense.
In the country.
Colorado State is not good.
Nope.
I've seen them play. You go look at their numbers. There's nothing about them that says this team is very good. Interesting enough for Oregon State, they're sitting at 3-1. They're coming off of the bye. I went back and I was curious about this. I've been thinking about it all week because I'm having a hard time with some of these Mountain West teams getting excited. Colorado State does not excite me as an Oregon State fan to watch as an opponent.
How many do it? Boise does it probably.
Boise, UNLV if they keep
UNLV
this rolling.
Right now. Yeah, they win tonight. They play Syracuse, by the way, tonight.
San Jose State is a dangerous team. Yeah, I'm not excited about it, but they're dangerous. And then Washington State.
Okay.
So I got a few games on here that I'll get excited. This is not one of them. So I was kind of looking at this week, and I just used ESPN as a barometer, okay? ESPN tracks your scheduling to 2003. You can go to Football Reference. You can go back earlier than that. But ESPN specifically goes to 03. So I went to 03 to 2023. How many times has Oregon State in their program in that run, 20-plus years, started 4-1.
Oh, God. Going about 20 years, I would say 4.
Okay.
2.
6.
6. Oh.
So a little higher than you guys thought.
A little bit higher.
But I still thought that was eye-opening, that it's only 6 times since 2003 and 2023 they have started 4-1.
How many times 5-1 too? Because you win this week, you got Nevada next week. You got a decent chance of winning that game as well.
There's a couple 5-1s in there. I think there's 2 in there.
Yeah.
But my point is, you have an opportunity to do something that this program largely hasn't been doing. And I know the opponent's not great, but it's just about one, you rebounding from Oregon. You did that against Purdue. And now you come off the bye, you get rested. You have an opportunity to do it against Colorado State. And I just want to see, not how hungry they are, but I just want to see the execution that I saw against Purdue. They let Purdue kind of come back a little bit late in that game, but you didn't think the game was in doubt.
No.
I'd like a full start-to-finish ass-whooping is what I'd like to see. Now, I'm expecting Colorado State to get a score or two or maybe three, whatever. I'm not expecting absolute perfection. I just like to see foot-on-throat from start to finish, assert yourself. It's a home game for you. It's a great start, kick time, 3:30.
Oh, it's perfect.
And you get to do something for the seventh time that you have done six times prior to 2003.
Yeah, that's an interesting stat because this is a team that I feel like a lot of times, the 1 year I remember is the Vaz Manion year where they were, what, 9-0 that season before this?
6-0.
6-0, okay, sorry, 6-0. Yeah. And then they tripped
2012.
Up. But I felt like a lot of the Riley team's calling cards was they'd get off to a bit of a clunky start and then find their groove as the season went on. And they were a team that you didn't really want to play in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
But they'd always, you know, you'd be like, how did they lose that game? How did that happen? And then you look up and they'd be like 7-2 towards the end of the year and they played better football as the year went on.
The year they beat USC on Thursday night at home, that was Jaquizz Rodgers' first
year.
They got bludgeoned at Penn State.
Penn State, that's 14. Who it was. I remember that. And they just.
And they lost their opener at Stanford.
That's right.
36-28.
And then they come back and beat the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
So that was always kind of the way that they were. So it's an interesting stat that they've had not a ton of those, but more than both of us thought. I think you look at it, I think you're looking at it the right way of just capitalizing on the opportunity. You know, I think the primary thing for them in the short term has just been staying as relevant as you can, winning as many games as you can to keep up on the radars of recruits, taking advantage of national TV games. And I know this is a CW game, probably not going to get a ton of eyeballs because of where you're slotted in a Saturday afternoon. Well, but the numbers have been okay so far this year.
I would say Oregon State, I think Oregon State to date has more viewers than Washington does.
Yeah, well, because Washington played a Big Ten Network game and a Peacock game. And
they had another game on, I think it was
their number
FS1.
Was pretty good Friday night last week. I think they had an okay number against
Friday
Rutgers.
Friday night but, games usually give you a good rating. I think they had an FS1 game that wasn't very bad.
That was their Northwestern game, I
yes.
want to say.
Oregon State had more,
and they had more viewers.
Washington State had more viewers.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I use the analogy all the time. There's no pictures on the scorecard, and it's funny that the schedule isn't great. There's not a lot of matchups in here that get you fired up, and I don't blame any Beaver fan for feeling that way. If you're able to take care of business this week, you're able to take care of business next week. You know what game's going to have a decent number of eyeballs? UNLV's coming to town in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they currently are in the top 25 for the first time in the history of their program. They're playing a Power 5 or 4, whatever school, in Syracuse this weekend. If they beat Syracuse, and tonight, actually, if they beat Syracuse tonight, they hang around. I'm going to see who UNLV plays next.
At Utah State.
Okay, so that
so they, so they
should likely be a win.
Yeah.
You're potentially looking at a borderline top 25 team in Oregon State at that point at 5-1, a top 25 team in UNLV at that point, and you have the chance because it's hard for you to make the playoff this year where you can knock them maybe
we're
out.
Not making the playoff.
No, but you can knock them out, and you can play that spoiler role of saying, yeah, you think you want to come to the Pac-12 or you didn't want to come to the Pac-12. Welcome to not making the college football playoff. And so you look up in 2 weeks, you're 5-1 and you got a top 25 team in town. All of a sudden, the excitement, I think, builds as the year goes on.
The two things is football-wise, if we're just talking about the football of this game, I really want to see pressure on the quarterback. It's an area for Oregon State that outside of blitzing, it's been a struggle for them. I want to see that. And the second area is Colorado State's pass defense is terrible.
Yeah.
It's dead last in their Mountain West. They have not had good pass defense. I would like to see some growth and some confidence building for McCoy this weekend. I think there's an opportunity there. Clemens had a couple catches last week and some toe tappers that looked really good. I think they have an opportunity. They're going to run the football. We know that's what Gunnarsson wants to do. But you got opportunity to set up play action pass. You got opportunities with this secondary against Colorado State to move the ball through the air and get your quarterback to continue to grow. If you're going to beat Cal, you're going to beat Washington State. You're going to beat Boise State. If you have a shot at that, you need to throw the football. You cannot be one-dimensional. And McCoy's been fine, but he's not been wow to me. This is a good weekend for them to get him in the 250-yard range and have one of those weeks. Based on the statistics of what Colorado State has been,
should be a good matchup.
This is an opportunity for them through the air to build some more confidence.
I'm most excited to see Darius Clemens. How does he build on that game against Purdue? He looked, I know it was only three catches for 35 yards, but to your point of the way he looked, just physically, the toe taps, he looked the part of a number one wide receiver, and he could be a game changer for them as the year goes on. So want to see him with another big game. They play to Colorado State tomorrow, 3:30. On the CW. Let's take a final look at the college football weekend. We'll get to our NFL pressure cooker coming up in the final hour. Don't forget Sprague in the Line coming up at 8:30. Look at the weekend and where is the chaos? What games are we most excited for? Where are the upsets? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. The award-winning NFL pressure cooker segment coming up at the top of the hour. Who, what ingredients are we throwing in? What coaches, what players, what teams? Who's getting tossed in to the pressure cooker to cook until Sunday? That is coming up in 10 minutes.
The pressure.
Spring in line at 8:30. We got some good fake sponsors rolling in. Keep them coming. 503-864-6326. I have no clue where I'm going to go this week. I should be confident. I have my first winning week of the year, and there's just no confidence. I got nothing.
Well, should you be confident because you had one winning weekend? Hey,
that's all it takes, man. It takes one slump. I got my slump buster last week.
All right,
but
2-1, back at it.
No. So the answer is no.
Man, you stopped the bleeding. You had lost like 8 straight.
You were leaking oil. We both needed that. It was not going great.
Started off good Friday night when Rutgers did what I needed Rutgers to do.
You got lucky on that
Very lucky
on that one. Close. But hey, it's better to be lucky. Right?
Yeah. Damn right it is.
That is a bet.
So we had our buddy Josh Payton on Wednesday. He thinks that we're heading for a potential chaos weekend in college football.
Mm-hmm.
And he circled a bunch of different games. He went over it on his show last night as well. I was watching a bit of it. And just these, you know, matchups, ranked teams against unranked conference opponents, big spreads. Where is the pitfall? There will be a pitfall somewhere. If I would have told you last Friday, hey, I think Kentucky's going to beat Ole Miss, everybody said, yeah, you're an idiot, not going to happen. And then it happens, right? That's the beauty of college football. There will be an upset this weekend. In the top 12 or 13, who is your primary upset candidate? Who is the one that you would call their head coach right now and say, hey, man, I'm a little worried for you this weekend. I don't like the way this is going to work out for you.
Well, I'm going to go back to the team that you really like a lot, Missouri. I think they're in trouble at Texas A&M, the playoff team that you really think is going to be in there.
Dominant top 10 team.
I'm worried about Missouri. They haven't quite looked. They're 4-0, but they are 4-0. This is a big game for Elko at A&M. Drinkwitz is worried about an assistant director because her brother might be starting at quarterback. I'm going to circle that one. I'm not worried that Ohio State's going to lose to Iowa. I'm just like, what's that look like?
Just curious.
And, you know, remember the Stanford effect years ago with Harbaugh, Shaw? You play Stanford the next week. It's not that Iowa has that kind of reputation. It's more that Iowa's just physical. And Ohio State having to play a physical team like Iowa and then go to Eugene, it's a really tough back-to-back. I'm kind of curious Georgia's hangover effect from such a devastating loss. I don't think Auburn's actually that good. I know they've had some bad turnover luck and all that, but I don't like Hugh Freeze, but I'm curious if Georgia comes out and what they look like. And I'll give you, I had one more here.
There's a lot of games. I like this. We're heading to an exciting weekend.
I think it's underrated. Oh, and my note, Miami. I'm not actually worried about Miami.
You think a bounce-back game for them?
A bounce-back game. Go look at Cam Ward's numbers against Cal. I did last night.
He dominates
Cal. Yeah. He threw for 354 and 346 in 22 and 23. He likes playing Cal. So everybody's circling that game. It is a late start for Miami time-wise. But I think they had their clunker last week, and I think they're significantly more talented than Cal. I think they're going to blow Cal out.
Before I let you go, Swag, because I'm curious your games as well, I should point out we've talked way too much about Missouri on today's show, inadvertently. The reason this game is so important for them is just go look at the rest of their schedule.
Is it tough or is it a cakewalk?
Cakewalk.
Yeah.
They have
but
one
the
of the
so tough.
Easiest schedules in all of the SEC. If they are to win this weekend, they have a trip to Alabama at some point. They will likely lose that game.
They go to Alabama and
they
host
don't play Georgia,
Oklahoma in back-to-back weeks.
Don't play Tennessee. Don't play Ole Miss.
Oh, that Oklahoma defense could be.
Don't play LSU. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win all their games. I'm just saying, as far as SEC schedules go, theirs is a cakewalk. And so that's why this weekend's important for them. Who's on upset alert for you, Swag?
Should be Michigan.
Yeah. They're an underdog.
That's not an upset.
Ranking wise, I am curious. UNLV tonight. I think Syracuse.
Yeah, Kyle McCord can do it.
They need to be ready for an up and down. That game could be a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, most of our attention will be on the Ducks, but if you have a second screen putting that on FS1.
Likely the more competitive, entertaining game, at least I hope.
Yeah, maybe second half you flip the audio or something. And then the other one I was looking at, is this a PJ Fleck moment for Minnesota to row the boat?
Feels a little trappy for USC. If
pissed off the way they got screwed at the end of the game last week.
If there's a trap, I think it might be right there.
Okay.
Can Arkansas drag Tennessee into some water?
That's the one that I would throw out at
like
you.
Like third quarter, it's kind of uncomfortable.
I don't think defensively they can.
But can they keep around in a shootout because Taylen Green's making big plays and using his legs? Because he's a phenomenal athlete.
He can't throw interceptions. No, if he throws interceptions, then that gets out of control.
Yes, I'm trying to see on the season.
He's got 5 tutties and 5 picks on the year.
Yeah, his rushing totals are, I mean, he had a great game against UAB. He almost ran for 100 yards.
They should have beat Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State, he was good with his legs-ish, but like last week, they lost to A&M. He had 6 yards.
Yeah, he could not run the football last week.
So his legs weren't as big a factor, and Tennessee's defense is pretty stout.
That's the one. The other one that I would circle, because Michigan-Washington's an easy pick here, but to your point, Sprague, it's not an upset, because rankings-wise it is, but they're a underdog in that game, so I wouldn't be shocked at all if Washington wins that one. I did circle the two. USC on the road at Minnesota, they've had a tough travel kind of back and forth the last couple of weeks, now having to go back to the middle of the country and play Minnesota. They can, you know, defensively they're pretty decent. They hung around with Michigan last week and should have had a chance with an onside kick to try and win that game. So if I were USC, they have gotten off to really slow starts the last couple of weeks. Cannot continue to do that week in and week out. That's clearly something they have to clean up. And then the other one that I would circle is Tennessee-Arkansas. So there will be another close game that maybe we don't see coming that we don't even talk about in this segment. But Tennessee going on the road to Arkansas, tough place to play, great athlete at quarterback, kind of a desperation spot for Arkansas at this point in their season. You just always be careful. They almost beat Texas A&M. Texas A&M's currently ranked in the top 25. I don't know how good they are. But Arkansas hosting Tennessee, that's my other one.
Well, they're not in the top 10, but I'm curious, man. You're going to get the pressure cookers here in the NFL. Is this not a pressure cooker weekend for the Lane Train?
Massive weekend for the Lane
Train. Going to South Carolina, and I don't think much of South Carolina, but I know what I've seen from them.
Lenora Sellers, their quarterback, should be back. I mean, they're going to rotate a little bit, but he'll be
Ashford, his backup, right?
Robbie Ashford's his backup.
It's going to be a tough environment, and they looked awful last week.
They did. That's one that it's kind of funny when you see a team play bad. You just wonder, Miami's this way, and you're going the other direction. And I don't blame you at all for that. Is that your clunker? And then you come out and play clean football again? Or is this a sign of, like, trouble to come?
Right.
Where you faulty early in the season, and now the real you is starting to show up. That's the hard read on both teams like Ole Miss and Miami, because they look so dominant in the first month of the season, and then last week you're like, what the hell was that? Where did that come from? You were playing a certain way, now you don't look that way. So I'm excited to watch both those games this week, and I'm with you on Ole Miss on the road at South Carolina. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Some last thoughts on the Oregon-Michigan State game. Beaver fan, who are you rooting for tonight? You got to pick one. Who are you rooting for tonight? We'll spread the line at 8:30. 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. We'll start though with the NFL pressure cooker. What ingredients are we throwing in? Who's under the most pressure this weekend in the NFL? Load a final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.